This is a Willets Point Shea Stadium bound 7 express train. The next and last stop is Willets Point Shea Stadium.
Rivera, Subway to Shea podcast, episode 125. Happy New Year, everybody. Happy New Year. It is 2024, and you may hear me sound a little nasally because I'm feeling a little bit under the weather, but the show must go on. And I got to thank a lot of you guys out there. Saw a lot of nice comments from my bonus episode with Danny Torres of the Talkin' 21 podcast. We did a little episode on Roberto Clemente and his link to the Mets. It was a nice getaway from the everyday Mets talk for at least an episode, especially with nothing going on in this boring free agency that we've had going on. So thanks to Danny Torres for coming on. And I could speak to him for hours. I could talk to him. We talked a half hour before the show started, and then we talked for about an hour during the show, and I think a half hour after the show. So he's awesome. You can follow him on X at DannyT21 and at Talking 21 Podcast as well. Make sure to follow those two on X. And it's a new year, new Mets, maybe? Well, you can interpret that any way you want. Mets did make a signing today, and here to discuss it with me, along with the rest of the news and rumors surrounding the Mets and who they are interested in looking at and who they may have their eyes on. It's Al Cintrone. Al has been on this podcast multiple times, and now he's living the dream as an overnight host on WFAN. He also got to be on the New York Sports Rapid Rundown with my guy Dexter Henry. Al, my friend, how are you?
I'm great, Ray Romano. Happy 24.
When you said that to me off air, I almost spit out my water. That was awesome, man. I like totally.
It's all good.
But
it's all good, brother. Happy 24 to you and your loved ones.
Same to you, man. And let's get right into it. Thankfully, we got a little bit of news today. Might not be what everybody was thinking about, but according to Andy Martino of SNY, the New York Mets have signed free agent outfielder Harrison Bader to a one-year $10.5 million deal. Now, I'm going to bring up this slide, so bear with me real quick. Here we go. Here are Harrison Bader's stats for the 2023 season. He batted .232, 7 home runs, 40 RBIs, 20 stolen bases, and a .622 OPS. Versus lefties, which is real important. And you see that little star next to the lefties under where the banner is, it would say, because I got that from Matthew Brownstein of Mesmerized. That's where the stats came from on the lefties. He has a .936 OPS last season and then an .824 OPS career-wise for hitting against lefties. His fielding and defense, career fielder, .986 fielding percentage. His range, 95th percentile. His arm strength, 91st percentile. All that from Baseball Reference and Baseball Savant. Al, what did you think of this deal? Are you for it? Are you against it? Maybe neither, maybe in the middle.
It's better than John Mayberry Jr. Before the offseason, I was like, go all in, go for it. You know, typical fan. The more I realized it, the more I thought about it. For long-term success, these are the kind of players in terms of proven deals that are going to happen for this team, the 2024 team. There's plenty of guys that you can add on this roster to put a competitive team together for 2024 on one-year proven deals or even a two-year deal. But I like it in terms of defense, for sure. I wish that picture would have been a Cardinal uniform or a red uniform, not a Yankee uniform, but hey, I digress. And I knew the minute I got on my phone, the trolling would start for Met fans. The manager, Severino, now Beta, you know, I like it. I like the pickup defense in center field. Nimmo could get to left. I keep seeing Beta's going to be the fourth outfielder. You're not paying the fourth outfielder $10 million. I don't know why that's being said. I don't know why, but I like it.
Well, you look at the outfield right now, and Brandon Nimmo, Harrison Bader, Starling Marte are kind of what you're thinking will be that, you know, starting lineup on opening day if all works and if all stays final with that core right there. You got Tyrone Taylor, who will probably get some time in there. DJ Stewart, obviously, coming off the bench. Jeff McNeil, if needed, but mostly I assume that he will be playing second base with Ronnie Mauricio out now. I go back to what David Stearns talked about. Every time he's come out and spoke, everything has been about run prevention. That's the philosophy now, run prevention. And he's done that up the middle, bringing in a Harrison Bader to play possibly center field. I don't know how much time he's going to play center field, but he's going to get a lot of playing time there, which is good for two things. He's a great center fielder. I just gave you the stats right there. One of the top center fielders in all of baseball. What that also does is it possibly moves Brandon Nimmo to left field. We all know Nimmo's a good center fielder. He really is. And the fact that they get to move him to left field and he can now stay healthy, I think is a very important part of this whole thing.
Yeah, that's that. And I even tweeted that out. I'm like, or X'd it out, whatever you want to call it, that it's going to be less taxing on his body. So he'll be available. Not that he's missed a lot of games the last couple of seasons. He's gotten much better with being on the field, being available. But a Bader and center field, and like you said, Taylor's the fourth outfielder. That's where people said Bader's going to be the fourth outfield. Makes no sense. Hello. But Nimmo in left field, Bader in center. And the wild card is Marte. He's going to play winter ball. We have no idea what to expect from him after double groin surgery. He got married recently. We have no idea what to expect. That is the wild card in all this when it comes to the Met outfield and the Met lineup.
If you use Bader properly this season, it could be a really good low-key signing. I mean, he's from New York. He's played on the Yankees. He unites with his college buddy and Pete Alonso. They played with the Florida Gators.
Frat boys.
He can be traded at the deadline if he's playing well, kind of like Tommy Pham was. And like we mentioned, he hits lefties. So you look at the Mets hitting against lefties, a 7.08 OPS against left-handed pitching. This team has been awful against left-handed pitching, not just in 2023, not just in 2022. We're talking for like a decade of bad hitting against left-handed pitching. This could only help the Mets. I hear a lot of this from Met fans, and you've talked about it as well. They don't like the signing because he's a former Yankee. That doesn't really bother me at all. Are we on the same page on that?
Yeah, he didn't start his career with the Yankees, dum-dums. Like, stop it. This is the part I don't get. We're never happy. We complain that we want signings, right? And then when we do make a sign, the guy's a former All-Star, former Gold Glover. He did have an injury season this past season, but he can be rejuvenated with his boy, Pete Alonso, his best friend, Pete Alonso. So that cannot be overlooked. That cannot be overstated. Like, this is why I got excited about it. It came across my phone. My dad texted me, multiple people like, yo, did you see this? I'm like, yeah, I like it. I mean, go look at in the past, the signings we've had and the fans got more excited, and Harrison Bader is a better player than most of the guys we signed in the past. So can we just, like I said, when I was on with Dexter Henry, shout out to Dexter, can we let the offseason play out? Can we let it play out? And then when the squad is complete, feel free.
Look, to me, outside of Yamamoto, everyone that I've wanted is still available.
Exactly.
So I am chill. I talked about this on another podcast. I'm tranquilo right now. I'm relaxing, and I'm taking it back until we get to spring training and seeing where this team goes on from there. Let's hit up some of the chat here. We got 19 people in here right now. Make sure you hit a like. Make sure you hit a subscribe for me. Join in on the chat with me and Al. Matt Ibby Ibanez of the Till Mets Do His Part podcast talking about run prevention. That's all he talked about today. And he got Met fans killing him for that. But I don't know why. We've talked about it just now. This is the philosophy that David Stearns is trying to preach into this team. I think what frustrates Met fans is we're going in a direction that's not really been done before. The patience level, which is not really there, and I can understand why. We've both haven't seen, well, you've got to see the 86 team. I was still in a womb at that time.
Yes, I did.
I do understand fans that aren't patient, but you know, considering that I've never seen them win, I mean, I cannot not be patient at this point. I mean, what else do I have to lose? And with this Mets team and the way that Stearns and Cohen are kind of changing things and changing the direction of the way they go about free agency and trades, I think it's a breath of fresh air, honestly.
Well, as far as trades go, in terms of the guys that Steve Cohen acquired, he bought pretty much a minor league team. I put out a tweet maybe 2 months ago, maybe 1 or 2 months ago, that said we can trade assets that we've acquired. A fan came, responded, a follower, and said something about we're not going to trade prospects. And Steve Cohen actually liked that tweet. So do I think we're going to see any of these guys that Steve Cohen acquired at the trade deadline and beyond? No, I don't think we're going to see any trades at all. This is a 1 year thing. This is short term right now, 2024. They can still put a competitive team on the field, a playoff caliber team on the field. To me, the pitching is more important than the everyday lineup right now. I think we're good when it comes to the everyday lineup. Third base is a question mark, but we got Vientos, Beatty, and we can get into that later. Who do we trust? Who I don't trust? But like you said, there's plenty of guys still out there, plenty of guys still available. This is not the hot stove. This is the cold stove. The baseball offseason, the last couple of seasons has sucked. It's not what it used to be. Basketball's taking over when it comes to free agency. The first day, everything drops. NFL free agency has passed baseball free agency.
Or hockey this in is, there too.
Yeah, hockey. And this, you would know better than me, so I'm taking your word for it. But baseball needs to do something about this, because when the hot stove starts, everybody's excited, and then there is nothing besides Yamamoto, whoop-de-doo, that's it. There's nothing.
Look, that 1 year where they had the lockout and everyone was trying to sign before the lockout, that was probably one of the best free agencies that I watched in a week span. And since then, it's just been a whole lot of nothing, a whole lot of boring, like you said, a cold stove. And it's just, you know, frustrating how long these players take, and their agents and the teams, and this, they're waiting on this guy to see how much they can get. And you know what the thing too that's crazy is that ridiculous contracts are being handed out to players that have either been injured, have had bad seasons, and it just keeps going. It just, the cycle just keeps going. You kind of hope for a reset when it comes to the price and value of these players, but it just keeps skyrocketing. The Ohtani thing did not help any of the causes at all, and Yamamoto either. And you know, it's just crazy to see, you know, what has been transpiring in baseball. It's not fun. And hopefully at some point, some things change here. Looking more into the chat, Game for War, greetings and salutations. John Rossi, what did I miss? We just got started, man, talking about Harrison Bader. Welcome to the show. He says, what's up, Al?
What's up, John?
Cintron and Rivera, this must be the PR channel. Wepa. Yeah. pretty much.
Missing is the big ass bottle of Coquito. That's all that's missing right now.
I don't know if I could drink any more Coquito after this Christmas season. But yeah, we're going to get into the pitching, like you mentioned. We're going to talk about that a little later. I want to continue on with the hitting, because the Mets, they still need a DH. They still need a bat. I mean, Pete Alonso needs protection, and I don't know if he's going to get it, but there's been interest in Justin Turner for a while. The Mets are now showing some interest in JD Martinez and Gio Urshela. So I'm going to bring up their stats right now so you guys can check that out. JD Martinez last season in 113 games, 271 batting average, 33 home runs, 103 RBIs, an 893 OPS. Justin Turner, 276 batting average, 23 homers, 96 RBIs, 800 OPS. That's in 146 games. And Gio Urshela, he only played in 62 games, but a 299 batting average, 2 home runs, 24 RBIs, and a 703 OPS. Al, who do you want? If you only could pick one, who are you picking out of the three?
All right, so in years past, I've wanted JD Martinez like I've wanted Sofia Vergara when I was growing up. So badly, and I got to meet her, beautiful in person, by the way. But I'm leaning more towards Justin Turner, because he can play third, he can play first, and he can DH. And like you said, Pete needs a break. Also not on this list, Rhys Hoskins. He's another guy coming off a horrific injury, and he might be looking for a 1 year prove-it contract, be motivated in the division to go against his former team. And who knows, that's another guy who can back up Pete Alonso. But if I had to pick right now, it would be Justin Turner.
Yeah, I have to agree with you. I am a huge Justin Turner guy, and bringing him back, I think, would be the right move for everything that you said. Like, I love JD Martinez, and I wanted him last season when I thought the Mets should have taken a flyer on him. But obviously him as well, another year older, just like Justin Turner, but he also doesn't play a position. And we've been through that with Daniel Vogelback, and we need guys that are versatile. Now I'm not saying that JD Martinez is Daniel Vogelback, because we know that he's a better hitter. But the versatility is what this Mets team needs and what every baseball team needs now with the DH in play. And having Justin Turner not only to be your primary DH, he'll give you the average, he'll give you some pop. He'll also play a little bit of third base. He could play first base. He could play around the horn and really help this team. Maybe even can help a Brett Beatty or a Mark Vientos, guys that need to kind of take it to the next level this season. Otherwise, I'm kind of worried about their standing on this squad. So I do think that Justin Turner is the guy. The only concerns that I have with him and a guy like JD Martinez is because they're up there in age, that they may want to go to a contender, a team that's going to vie for a championship, because it may be their last time around playing. It may be their last time getting a contract. So maybe one of those teams may be willing to give them, you know, one or two more years than what the Mets would give them. I think that the Mets would only go 1 year with either of those two. With a Gio Urshela, that might, you know, kind of stunt a Brett Beatty or a Vientos if he's playing third base all the time, because he's the best hitter out of the three, we would assume, right? And there's just so much dynamic when it comes to that whole DH in position.
Well, Gio Urshela, I brought him up on one of my shows recently. Great glove. But he's been injured. We've been down this road with injured guys before. As far as contract-wise, the money-wise, it probably worked for the Mets are trying to do this year. But Justin Turner already has a ring. He signed with Boston, who stunk last year. I mean, they were bad last year. He signed with them. I think these guys that come in here for one-year deals, they can look at it this way. I can come to New York, get paid. You know, maybe it's on their bucket list. Turner's done it before. And then they realize if they're in it, they're going to go for it. I'm sure they go over this in negotiations. You know, what if you're in it at the deadline? Are you going to make a move? Some sort of move, you know, to strengthen the roster, which I think will happen. That's when I think you'll see an asset or two traded if you're in it. I don't think it's going to happen anytime now. But Justin Turner, I think, is perfect. I don't worry about him being available. The guy's a gamer, and this team needs more gamers.
Yes, they need more gamers, and I think that's what they're going to be getting from Harrison Bader. He plays hard. He's a rah-rah type guy. That's going to go perfect with Pete Alonso and getting Pete Alonso to be Pete again. I feel like Pete wasn't himself last season. He stopped doing the LFGM, really, and I don't know if they kind of told him to tone it down or what, and then you had, you know, stuff from outside sources saying that he was, you know, a cancer on the roster, which, you know, I know we don't agree with here. And I just, you know, I think he would help, you know, kind of loosen up Pete and get him being Pete again.
Yeah, we need to see Pete humping the rails again. Like that Pete, the ultimate warrior humping on the rails, like that Pete. The one who dropped the F-bomb, that Pete, like, he wasn't the same after the injury because he struggled. He tried to come back and help the team. I respect him doing that. Looking back, was it the right thing to do? No, he should have took some extra time off. But he tried. The ship was sinking. The ship was sinking in June. And the only thing I hope for this season is that we have meaningful games going towards the deadline. So it's not, to me, it's not about winning division this year. To me, it's about getting to the deadline in wild card position, in the hunt. And then it'll be interesting to see what the organization does. Because if they pass, if they're, let's say, four games out of the wild card come the deadline, and they pass four or five, and they don't even make a move, or hell, if you think this fan base is negative now, all hell is going to break loose. So I just want to get to the deadline in it, four or five games within striking distance. And then I believe we'll make a move to strengthen this roster and then go for it.
You look at Justin Turner, going back to him, and Ibby brings up a good point. 28 bombs for Turner at City this past year, according to Zavon. I've been looking at that all day today, especially with Harrison Bader, who, you know, kind of has some pop for City Field, and hopefully we'll see that this season. Hopefully his hitting approach will be better under Eric Chavez as well, and we'll see a little pop come out of there. Interesting by Carlos Ramos here, who brought up a guy that I didn't put on here because I really haven't heard any links to him. But Jorge Soler is obviously, if you throw him into the mix, he's kind of the ideal guy that you would want, even over a JD Martinez, to me, at DH.
That's going to take 2 to 3 years from what I was reading.
I heard that from Joe DiMaio saying that it would take at least 2 years. If that's the case, I would do everything in my power to bring him in here. As long as it's not a 3 to 4 year Starling Marte type deal, I would totally give Jorge Soler 2 years.
The crazy thing is, when I had my first show alone in August on The Fan, I had a list of players, potential players. He was the first one I mentioned in terms of DH. He can play some outfield, obviously, left and right field. 30-something bombs. That you put him with Pete Lindor, and now you have Bader. Who knows what you're going to get out of Marte. He's a beautiful power bat in this lineup. And again, it'll be within that time frame the Mets want a 2-year deal, maybe a club option for a third. But again, Jorge Soler would be a nice fit for this lineup.
Brad Jackson says, can we please also give Mark Vientos some more love at third base? I think he's going to get some playing time. I think the Ronnie Mauricio injury is going to allow him to get some time at third base, especially if Brett Beatty can't get his act together. We saw Mark Vientos down with Francisco Lindor, practicing infield drills and trying to get himself better with the gloves. So there probably will be an opportunity. We will see his bat. That's for sure. I have no doubt we will see that bat this season, especially if the Mets don't get any of the people we just talked about. His bat becomes more prominent along with DJ Stewart at that DH position.
See, and that's the thing. If they don't address the DH situation outside of what they have right now, I believe it is going to be Vientos / Stewart / Pete on an off day. I think that's what it's going to be. As far as Vientos goes, I gained a ton of respect for him this offseason. Francisco Lindor invites him to Puerto Rico. He goes down to Puerto Rico to get better. Francisco Lindor invited Brett Beatty. Has he accepted his invitation yet? Have we seen any footage of him in Puerto Rico working out with Francisco Lindor? No.
I haven't seen any.
No. So Mark Vientos is putting in the work. We don't see what Beatty's doing. He's not filming everything, whatever. But I respect Vientos for taking initiative, accepting Francisco Lindor's offer, and going down there and doing whatever it takes to make yourself better. And if you notice during the offseason, he's everywhere for the Mets. He's in the videos, he's playing Santa, he's doing all these things. So he is all in, and I want him to get a legit shot. Out of all the kids that came up, Mauricio, Alvarez, Beatty, and him, he got the least amount of opportunities. It took him the longest, and finally, when he got an opportunity to get at bats, he was smashing the ball. So guess what? If his glove is decent, he should get the shot at third base, because Beatty's had enough at bats at third base. And to be honest with you, I am not sold at all on Brett Beatty.
And to be fair to him, to Beatty, as well as Vientos, and even Alvarez, I don't think Alvarez has gotten a full season worth of at-bats yet. I know that they kind of shut him down a little bit towards the end of the season. Beatty has been riddled with injuries and sent up and back down. Vientos hasn't gotten the opportunity yet. So this may be the time this season where we see the Mets evaluate these kids. Everyone wanted these kids up here. And now that they have this opportunity, they want to sign all these other players and bring in players that will stunt their growth. Now, I'm not saying a JD Martinez or Justin Turner will do that. But if you want to sign all these big priced free agents and you want also the kid, you can't have both. It's not that perfect world where we can get both. And Carlos Ramos says, we have to accept and understand that 2024 is not the year to go all in. 2024 is the year to set up the future. From 2025 and on, we can be more ambitious results wise. This is going to be evaluation year. I think I've told that to Carlos as well, but that's my eyes. We are evaluating the talent that we have. And then we are going to move forward, especially with some of the kids like the Drew Gilberts, the Acuñas that may be coming up as well.
Yeah, Tim, this is David Stern's time to evaluate the talent that he has. So he knows what moves to make, what moves not to make, who stays, who goes. So I'm giving him a chance. It's crazy. Cohen wanted him from the beginning. It didn't happen. Brewers didn't give permission. Fine. So we go the route we went. It didn't work out. I'm not here to bash Epler or nothing like that. It is what it is. Now he gets his guy. Fans are happy. Tell me why less than a month into the David Stern's job, the Mets fans are killing him. Not even a month into it.
Not even a month into the job. And literally no one was signed yet. We're talking about Otani hadn't been signed. Yamamoto hadn't been signed. No one had been signed. And everyone's freaking out over this. And I just don't understand this. But I do feel like fans may need to come to terms with the fact that our biggest signing of the offseason may be David Stearns himself.
Yeah, I 100% agree with that. 100% agree with that. If Cohen has given Stearns the key to the castle, here you go. Make it happen. I'm going to stay out the way. Whatever you need, I got. Well, obviously, David Stearns wants to to do it. I know it's saying it's like Milwaukee, a small market, as the small market team is, that as some fans have said he's operating under. Well, guess what? That small market way of thinking for David Stearns worked. They didn't, granted, they didn't get to the World Series. I think you'll see a little bit of both. You're going to see the Mets go all in next year. Big spending, but at the same time, mixed in with the small market mentality. In other words, Steve Cohen will be happy. He won't see as much red in his books as he's seen since he's taken over the Mets organization.
I honestly don't know what they want from Stearns and Cohen when they offered this guy 12 years, $325 million, and he went to LA because he was a Dodgers fan and it's close to home. Like, what more do you want?
No, they wanted the Mets to offer him 15 years, $650 million. Like, I mean, he did exactly what I want him to do.
He's never played in America either yet.
Oh, by the way, in some list, he's ranked third as the third best pitcher in baseball. Are you smoking? Third? He hasn't even thrown a pitch in the major leagues. I'm not going to say America because the World Baseball Classic, he pitched well. But third best pitcher in baseball and he hasn't thrown a pitch to a major league? Come on. Can we pump the brakes on that stuff?
Ibby says, "And come on, Mets fans have severe short-term memory. They forgot about the baby Mets." And it really feels like that they have forgot about the baby Mets. Carlos says, "Follow the process. Trust the process. By 2025, we will enjoy the benefits from it." So we're going to have kids coming up like Gilbert and some pitching prospects as well. So that will be huge for the Mets. And then they can go out in a more richer free agency and start, you know, really signing some of these bigger high priced free agents. Going into the chat right here, there's 27 people in here. Very grateful for all of that. Please make sure you like and subscribe. Make sure you're following all of my social media. You can see that on the bottom at Subway to Shea. You can follow me personally at AntRivera86. And also, please follow Al Cintron, my infamous name, as I'm trying to do all of that.
I tried to do yours too.
M. Stoddard, LGM says, Mets fans on X sign every free agent out there. It's true. They want to sign every person that's out there. Chris Torres, you never win with this fan base. Complain no matter what. It will never change, unfortunately. And that's
100%.
That's stuff we come to terms with. And a lot of the times we just, I mean, you've been on X and you block people out, you mute people, and you just go about your business. And, you know, you enjoy talking Mets with, you know, the people that, you know, bring that kind of joy out of you, a same kind of mindset, all of the great people in this chat that we're talking with as well. So that's, you know, that's how you get this fan base going. And a lot of the fan base in here, 29 people, appreciate it. Once again, I'm here with Al Cintron from WFAN. Catch him on X, like I said, at My Infamous Take. Al, let's switch gears and let's talk about the pitching. That's what you wanted to talk about earlier. So we're going to get right into that now. The Mets need another starter or two. And given what we've heard all offseason on the Mets, Cohen, Stearns, their philosophy, we're starting to get a feeling on how this Mets rotation is going to fill out post Yamamoto signing with the Dodgers. They're not going to pivot just to pivot. Like, just because they didn't get Yamamoto, they're not going to give a ridiculous deal out to a Blake Snell or Montgomery. Those things are not going to happen. That's a past regime's kind
of. Yeah, the Yankees can have those two guys for the years and the price. Enjoy.
Haven't they learned from Carlos Rodon?
No, no, because they're in. It came out with Blake Snell wants to play for the Yankees, pitch for the Yankees. Good, go ahead. Jordan Montgomery reunion, 6 years, 162. Have fun. That's not going to be our headache. Let's just worry about our own team, what we're doing now. And since you brought up pitch, I don't mean to cut you off. Came out Imanaga, the Cubs, the Red Sox, the Mets, and the Giants, I believe. I think those are the four teams. Yeah, those are the four teams. I've won Imanaga. He's got a funky delivery. Swing miss rate is high. I know Yankees don't want him because he's a fly ball pitcher. Good. City Field, fly ball ballpark. Let's go. Like, I'll take it. 4 year deal, something close to Singer, maybe a little less. Who knows? I think that if they sign Imanaga, I think that would be it. Maybe Corbin Burns. I know we'll get into that in a minute. I have one of my callers who has drilled that into my head. I finally have bought into the Corbin Burns thing. Okay. Sign him so he's here for a year. rehabs with the team for a year, is around the team for a year as well. And then 2025, you have your ace on the top of this staff with Senga, and then you fill out whoever you want to put in here.
Yeah, and with Imanaga, originally there was no interest, and now from Mark Feinsand on MLB Network, there is interest, and there was discussions. Now, the talk has been with Imanaga is that he could get a deal over 100 mil if he's in play for the Mets, and if that's the price range, or, you know, how much are you willing to offer to bring Imanaga in here?
It's something closer to like a 4 year. Senga got, what is it again? The number. He got a 4 year deal. What was it?
I thought it was around 80 or 90.
Yeah. So something like that. And I understand if he wants 100 and the Mets say no, I understand if they do that as well. Just doesn't fit into what they want to do this season. I'd be disappointed, but my heart won't be broken. There's plenty of options out there. And again, there's Michael Lorenzen's out there, one-year deal. He had a solid season, and then the All-Star season, second half of the season was rough, but he was better than Luis Severino, and we took a flyer on him. So if they don't get him in Imanaga, they can get two of these guys that are available, and then you can sign Burns as well. Now you have guys for this year. And remember, we still have some depth on this roster. I know guys don't want to hear some of the names I'm going to mention. Peterson from his surgery when he's healthy, McGill, Joey Fuego, who fans seem to want to get an opportunity.
I was talking about this last year, that one of these guys, after the showing at the end of the season, and I know it's not much because it's the end of the season, but they showed something. Joey Lucchese showed something. McGill kind of turned it around. Even Peterson was playing well, whether he was starting or coming out of the bullpen. I thought that one of these guys was going to be the fifth starter, especially if they brought in a Yamamoto and spent all that money. They were going to not be spending crazy money on to get other pitchers as well. So McGill and Lucchese, I thought those guys from last season, I thought that they were going to be up there for the fifth spot. And a lot of people didn't want to hear it from me on that.
Yeah, I mean, I was probably one of those people too. But now seeing what's going on, because I'm tired of seeing the same thing first inning, 25 pitches, a bunch of 3-2 counts. Like, I don't even go to the games when those guys pitch. I watch on TV. I'm sorry. No disrespect to them, but I'm not sitting there for a 1 hour first inning. I'm just not doing it.
I had my ticket package this season, and that's all I got to see. Carrasco, McGill, every weekend. Carrasco, McGill, Peterson.
Did they give you free hot dogs and drinks at least? Is it sitting through that?
Yeah. One day I got, a little barbecue, but definitely who else? Senga maybe saw maybe once or twice, got a Verlander start and got that stinker from Scherzer against the Yankees as well. But you look at the pitching, if Imanaga is to come on this team, they definitely need to sign another starter because they're going to have to work him into pitching every fifth day like they did to Kodai Senga. You look at some of these other starters, and we talked about, you know, teams overpaying. Lucas Giolito signed in Boston 2 years, $38.5 million. Now, I wanted Lucas Giolito on the team, not for that price. He did not, to me, earn that price to come back. Maybe a little bit more than what Severino got, but not much more than that.
That contract is, I know it's only 2 years, but that dollar amount is nuts. It's wild. You're paying pretty much the guy's given a home run derby pitcher, the batting practice pitcher. That's what he's been. I mean, it's nuts. He would have came here to Citi Field, right, and put up the numbers put up last year, man, he wouldn't have made it through the season on this roster. They would have had to release him. It would have been horrible for him.
DFA.
Yes.
You look at another pitcher that got traded this past week. Chris Sale traded to the Braves for Vaughn Grissom, who was a highly touted prospect, and he played very well for them. Chris Sale signs a 2-year, $38 million extension. Now, for the Braves, this kind of might work out as he'll probably be the third starter, and I'm pretty sure they'll get the best out of Chris Sale. It just works that way when you're a pitcher on the Braves. But, you know, there's a lot of injury concerns that come with Chris Sale, and that's something that I would worry about if I'm the Braves. But if they can tap into that potential, you know, Chris Sale is an all-star.
Yeah, he pitched well. Somebody, you know, let me know, because I was like, oh, Chris Sale, I'm not worried. That his second half of the season, he pitched pretty well, and then his numbers and innings and all that. So listen, it's not our that contract's not our problem. Hopefully it doesn't work out for the Braves. I don't wish injury on anybody, but I'm hoping that he absolutely sucks for the Braves this upcoming season.
Yeah. According to Andy Martino, the Mets are more likely to dive into the Mike Clevinger, Brandon Woodruff pool. Now, I've already given my thoughts last week on Woodruff, and he won't impact the team until probably 2025. So you can.
That's
you
know, who I got. My fault. Stash. I mixed up Burns and Woodruff. That's my fault. That's who I meant. Bring him here for a year, and then he can rehab with the team. Yeah, and then he'll be at the top of the rotation. You'll have your ace with Singh at the top of the rotation next season. So I apologize, but I mixed up the Brewers pitches.
Sign and stash, man. Sign and stash. Now, I want to focus on two guys that Michael Mayer of Metsmerize wrote about, and that is Sean Manaea and Hyungjin Ryu. Now, let me bring up their stats from this past season. Sean Manaea, 37 games. He only started 10. 7-6, he had a save, a 4.44 ERA, 128 strikeouts, 1.24 whip. You look at Hyungjin Ryu, 11 games started, 3-3 with a 3.46 ERA, 38 strikeouts, 1.29 whip. Now, Manaea is 31 years old. He's going to be 32 in February. Ryu's 36, going to be 37 in March. Now, my pick is Sean Manaea. He could start. He could come out of the bullpen in a pinch if you need it. So he could be long relief as well. He's younger than Ryu. He's pitched more innings. Al, for you, who do you got in the Manaea versus Ryu battle?
As far as not seeing a guy who always beats us, it's Ryu. We never hit that dude. But Manaea, and here's why. I saw a video on social media about how he's changed his throwing routine. He went from 91 miles per hour. Now he's throwing 96, 97. He's got a sweeper. I hate that word, but he's added that to his, it's a damn curve. He's added that to his repertoire. And again, he can start if it doesn't work out there. It's another lefty to the pen to go with Rayleigh, who was absolutely, I mean, every game that dude was in pitching against lefties. So we need another lefty in that pen, and he'd work out when it comes to that part as well.
Is there any other starting pitchers that we have not mentioned at all that the Mets should be looking into right now?
Michael Lorenzen.
Okay.
That's, you know, like I said, an all-star, granted, with the Tigers, but he pitched well and went to Philly. Wasn't that good. I don't think he got the opportunity that he should. I mean, he pitched a no hitter for Philly, but besides that, he really didn't get the opportunity in Philly. It's a fifth starter. It's a fifth starter. And if you look at the name you're going to put there, whether it's a Lorenzen, whether it's a Manaea, it's better than a lot of the other guys, other teams' fifth starters. So I'm happy whichever way they go when it comes to the fifth starter. If it's one of those guys.
Going into the comments here, interesting comment from Brad Jackson. I didn't even think about this yet. Can we see the Mets snagging Luis Castillo with the Mariners wanting to cut costs?
Oh, man.
I'm pretty sure that both of us would love to have Luis Castillo. Everyone in this chat would love to have Luis Castillo on the team.
Yeah, I just don't want to get excited about a name and it doesn't happen. We've seen this. We've been down this road before. Maybe that's a name you can get at the deadline. That's more realistic to me, a deadline move. When if the Mariners fall out of it or they're just, you know, not doing good, I can see that the Mets can be able to go after a guy like that. So that's a deadline move to me, not right now. I don't see it happening now.
Carlos Ramos says Corbin Burns is the move. Now, Corbin Burns versus a Luis Castillo. Which one are you taking in a trade?
Oof. Burns, because Stearns knows him and it rhymes, you know. But Burns, Stearns. If Stearns goes that way, it's because, you know, he knows the guy personally. If he goes Castillo, then forget it. But if I had my choice, it'd be Burns.
Matt coming back with the actual contract for Senga. 5 for $75 was for Senga, and he has opt out after 3 years. So that would be somewhere I think that Imanaga would get a little more. I would give him, I guess, to try to sign and bring him here, maybe go 85, 90, but man, $100 million for someone who's not pitched here. It's so hard for me to do that.
It's lower than 325.
Yeah.
It's lower than 325. And I have this fixation with lefty pitchers at Citi Field. I don't know why. Maybe because we haven't had many over the years. It's always, we've been right-handed heavy for the most part. But hey, whatever it takes, if it's available and it's there, and if it costs a little bit more to bring them, then I'm fine. I'm fine with it. It's not the end of the world.
Ibby has another good comment here, for a trade. I'd call Boston about Pivetta. Houston on, is it Urquidy? Did I say that correctly? I think.
Jose Urquidy. Urquidy.
There you go. Yeah. And the A's on Blackburn, gauge the price point. And I know he brought that up on the Till Mets Do Us Part podcast yesterday. So what are your thoughts on these three guys, Pivetta? We haven't heard much about them, but these are possible trade options that the Mets could look into.
It depends what they want. Again, because of the fact that Steve Cohen liked a tweet that went against me saying trade prospects to get somebody in here, I don't see it happening. Again, to me, those are guys you can get at the deadline for way cheaper at the deadline than giving up what you'd have to give up now before the season starts. And Pivetta, he's versatile as well. He can start, come out the pen, he can set up. So he's versatile as well. So if I had to pick out all those guys, it's probably him.
Yeah, and considering where this pen is at right now, which is not much outside of Edwin Diaz, who is going to be still rehabbing and coming back slowly from his injury, and Brooks Raley, you kind of want starting pitchers who can possibly, like Sean Manaea, like a Pivetta, can come out of the bullpen. I think that's very helpful for this team if they can land some of these players that, and we talked about this with the lineup, that provide,
flexibility.
Flexibility, right.
I got you.
Players that can provide flexibility and can play multiple positions, and that comment goes to pitching as well. If the pitchers can do that, especially when we don't have a bullpen and we don't know how these reclamation projects are going to come out. Like if you're going, I feel like you can have one or the other. You either have the starting rotation and a bullpen that's okay, you could do the reclamation projects, or you have a strong bullpen and maybe the starting rotation is not great, but you can't do both like we had last year. It was a complete and utter disaster.
I do not want to relive last year. It was a disaster from the jump. Verlander, we find out before opening day, he's out for a month. Scherzer gets suspended. I mean, it was, the writing was on the wall. Edwin Diaz got hurt. We didn't want to believe it. I didn't want to believe it. I know you didn't want to believe it. We all hoped it wouldn't turn out the way it did, but the writing was on the wall. I do not want to relive that. I said from the beginning, and I know you agree with me, pitching. And I agree, versatile pitches, a guy that can start and pen, interchangeable pitchers. That's what this roster needs. And let's face it, they're not the only roster that has pitching problems. It's all across baseball. It's a matter of who puts a rotation together best. And I'm hoping, and I'm believing in David Stearns that when it's all said and done, he will do the right thing and get this rotation where it needs to be.
Yeah, the rotation is going to take time. We're going to get a bunch of like 1 or 2 year deal type guys like the Manaeas of the world. And like you mentioned, Lorenzen. There are other starting pitchers that are not favored here in New York that could be mentioned, but we won't talk about them because I don't ever see it happening.
Who is it? Let me just hear a name.
Well, I mean, Marcus Stroman, for one. I know Met fans don't want him. I'm not saying I want him, but these are pitchers that are still available. And then you have that, you know, that cloud hiding around in the corner named Trevor TB. Bauer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I wouldn't touch him either. And I'm pretty sure that the Mets won't, but you know, those are names that are available. And I'm pretty sure that at some point these guys are going to get a deal and probably a bigger deal. Like if Lucas Giolito is getting the money that he's getting, in all fairness, I think we both can agree that Trevor Bauer is more talented than Lucas Giolito is.
100%.
Right? So 100%. He should be getting that type of money. Outside, I'm not going to forget about the things that have happened outside of his life, but if you're talking about the talent of a Trevor Bauer, more talented than Lucas Giolito, and Lucas Giolito off of a terrible year got $38.5 million.
Like, hey, say it again. How much money? How much money, Lucas?
$38.5 million.
Yeah.
That's wild. It's wild to me. Yeah. Stroman, of course, you know, he's had his issues with not only ownership, but the fan base. And
he won't be back. Yeah. He won't be back.
I don't think he can, hang anymore in New York. But as we move on and start to wrap up the show, I wanted to get into this. Where is it? I got it. Here we go. The new Mets hat as we wrap up the show. According to Danny Abreu of SNY, Mets will be changing their black hat for the season, dropping the white shadow from the NY, which you see, which has been the hat for, you know, decades. 2000, 99 team. They're going to be dropping that from the NY. I wonder how true this is because, Danny is really the only one that had reported this. I haven't heard this from anyone else not the Mets. I wonder if this was just a hat drop. And then I was thinking to myself, you know, could this be for a City Connect jersey? Would they change the look of the jersey as well? Because, you know, this would look weird if the white shadow is still on the jersey, as we see here, and then you have the other hat. I do remember, I think it was 98 when the hats first came out, that it had the blue brim on it, and they wore the jerseys that looked a lot better than this looks right now. Like, I have this hat at home as a personal collection item. Mm-hmm. But I don't know how this is going to look. I assume that this has to be coming, you know, with the City Connect. What are your thoughts on this hat and what they could be using this for?
Man, they can wear a traffic cone. I do not care. As long as they win games. I saw people flipping out about the hat. And again, this is so minor. This is nothing to complain about. But I mean, go to your local, go to Lids, go to the Mets store, go to Yankee store. There's different versions of every hat. Shit, my hat rack over here, I have 1,000 different Met hats here. Who cares? As far as you ask me what I think about the hat? It's nice. It's different. It's extra revenue because people are not going to have it. You're always looking for other avenues for extra revenue. So, but can we, I mean, flipping out over a hat? Come on, bro. Come on.
You know, when those City Connect jerseys come out.
Oh, I can't wait.
That the first thing on X is going to be anger, frustration. Why are the Wilpons back? This is a Wilpon type jersey.
Whose 5-year-old designed this jersey? Like the Nets jersey that they have looks like a 5-year-old decided to mix a bunch of colors together. The Brooklyn Nets jersey, it's horrible. But you know what's going to happen? It could be the greatest jersey ever made. They're going to complain.
Oh, yeah. You know, one thing that I would actually like to see is to bring back the New York script. They've been doing it a lot on merchandise. And I know it's not a part of the great time, right? That 87 year was the only year they wore it, and a lot of bad stuff happened during that season. But man, I don't know if you've noticed, but I've been seeing a lot of merch with that New York script on it. There's like a $400 pair of shorts that have the New York script on it. I've seen hats. Wait, I've got a t-shirt.
$400 shorts?
There is a $400 pair of shorts that has...
Do they wipe your ass for you after you use the bathroom? $400?
$400. Like, nah. I don't know if it was Lindor or Francisco Alvarez was wearing the shorts. And I'm like, man, these are nice. And they're like, yeah, you can get it on, I don't know if it was Mitchell and Ness or MLB.com. Go on the site, getting ready to order it, $400. I was like, I don't like shorts that much. $400? Come on. It's more than a jersey.
I'd rather go on a Met thong than spend $400 on a pair of shorts, bro. Come on, man. That's crazy.
I literally bought, I think it was one, I got a strawberry racing stripe. I got Doc and Keith and a couple of Mike Piazza jerseys. 5 jerseys. It was like a sale that the MLB was having.
Okay.
Cheaper than that one pair of shorts. And they're like authentic jerseys. Like, the stitching is nice. It's those Cooperstown ones.
Oh, I have a bunch of those. I know what you're talking about. I have a bunch of them.
Some of the spring training type jerseys. Like, it just has the Mets and the number on the back. Like, I have that for Gooden and Keith, and then Gary Carter. And then the strawberry one, I had to get his name on it. So I got the... whatever the new Nike racing stripe one was. But man, $400 for a pair of shorts. Nah.
I'm good.
I'm with you
on the scripting. You know, I love that. I have that 87 Daryl Strawberry jersey I wore to WrestleMania in Orlando. I love that jersey. I wish they would bring it back or something close to it. You can remix one of the, you know, mix it up with another jersey, you know, switch it up again. It's extra revenue for the organization. You can also buy the jersey plain and take it to City Field, by the way, and get it customized for $30 extra. So, and I've done that. I bought a plain jersey and take it there, and $30 to get it customized on top of the jersey. So those are your options, fans.
Yeah. Yeah. No, the script is definitely my favorite.
Love it.
They can incorporate that at some point in a City Connect jersey, or just, you know, somehow bring that back. It's a lot better than this logo that they have, but I got to thank Miss Subway to Shea for getting me this hat. It's the New York. I think that was from like 88 on that they have, but I actually like that hat. That's solid, right?
That's a nice hat. Yeah, I like that hat.
Yes.
I like that hat. It's a nice hat. Yeah, she did well. She did well.
She treats me well. She treats me great. I'll post that hat at some point and give her
It's a nice hat. Yeah, definitely. And that one with the jersey that had like the same thing, the letters like that as well on the front, correct?
Yeah. And you don't you don't see them like if they had like a David Cohn, one of those, I'd or Sid Fernandez, I would totally be up for buying a jersey like that with the New York. I know it gets a lot of bad flack because it kind of looks like the Yankees away jersey as well.
Can we? I mean, why? All right, let me give me a minute, Anthony. Okay.
I'll give you a minute.
I only care about the Yankees when we play them or when they're in the playoffs because I want them to lose. Besides that, why the hell do Met fans care so much about the Yankees? Just leave them alone. Yankee fans love when we get into this, Yankees. They love that nonsense.
Yeah.
When we play them, go at it. When they're in the playoffs, root for them to lose. Other than that, man, the Braves, the Phillies, the Dodgers, heck, even the Marlins I care about more than the Yankees when it comes to the regular season.
Before we wrap up, let's get to a few more comments here. Daniel Caps Keenan says he's already got his order for his hat already. So
nice.
Nice, man. Getting that. I know I have one of those hats. It's not the new era like that where it's fitted, but it's more of the strapped, kind of the dad hat, I guess that they would call it. But I like it when the brim is nice and folded already for me.
Oh yeah, I don't like the flat brim. Looking, I can't stand that.
The sticker on top.
No, it makes my head look even bigger. No thanks.
Morning Brew Sports Network got a couple of comments from them saying that those shorts too pricey for all of us, man. No one's gonna buy a $400. You know what? I would love to be that person in the store that sees someone buy a $400 pair of shorts and just stare at them like, why do you need this?
100%. That would be my reaction too, bro.
You don't need this.
And why? Then
he also says, Al, don't be hating now on the Yankees.
The Yanks for the Bronx.
Al, man, this has been a whole lot of fun.
Thank you, brother.
To wrap up this show with you. Let everyone know when you're coming on next on The Fan. I know you do a lot of overnight. Your schedule's, you know, always changing. So let everyone know when you're going to be on The Fan. Also, if there's anything you're working on and where everyone can catch you on X.
All right. So wake your ass is up this Sunday morning. I get on at 4 a.m. to 7:30 a.m. And then next Saturday after the football wildcard round, I will be on the air after the three games on wildcard to Saturday. So I'll be on from whenever the last game ends after they wrap the post game till 4 a.m. As far as other things I'm working on, most likely going to be on a Jet stream next week. It was supposed to happen during the season. I wasn't feeling well, just didn't work out. And then when the Commanders Jets game happened, I really didn't. I mean, who cared about it at that moment? So I'm going to do a season wrap and I'll post that Jet thing. And as far as personally, my podcast, I'm going to relaunch it closer to baseball season. It just makes more sense. Or when the second half of the Knicks season heading into opening day, that's when I will relaunch that as well.
Well, you're doing great stuff out there on The Fan.
Thank you. Keep up
the great work. And obviously, you're going to be on here again. I always love talking to you. We always meet up at the Met games. There'll be a lot more conversations between us, even in our chat and texts and stuff like that. So,
yeah. For sure.
I appreciate you, my man.
I also hope that what we talked about before the show, we're not gonna put it out there yet. I hope that happens. That would be a wonderful thing for everybody involved. You know what I'm talking about. We talked about it off there. If that happens, it'll be a beautiful, beautiful step for both of us. So let's see what happens. Fingers crossed.
Absolutely, Alan. Maureen says, great show, guys. And that's where we'll wrap it up here. Al Cintron from My Infamous Take on X. You can listen to him on The Fan overnights. And this Sunday, right
wake
before.
Your asses up. 4 a.m.
Sunday morning before the games, right? I'm trying to get that corrected, right? Right.
Yeah, I'll be on Sunday morning 4 a.m. to 7:30 a.m. after Tommy Lugar. I'll come on after him.
All right. Make sure you're checking Al. Then Al, appreciate you so much, my friend. Thanks for hopping on, brother.
Thank you, my Boricua brother. I appreciate it.
All right. You take care, man.
You too, brother.
All right. That's going to wrap up the Subway to Shea podcast. You can follow Subway to Shea on X, Instagram, and TikTok at Subway to Shea. Listen and subscribe to the Subway to Shea podcast on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify. If you're watching this now, you're probably subscribed on YouTube. So make sure to hit the subscribe button, hit all the like buttons, and let people know. You can even comment, leave comments for me to review. It helps me out a whole lot. And I really do appreciate each and every one of you for helping this podcast grow. You continue to be a major part of the success of the Subway to Shea podcast. And like I said, I appreciate each and every one of you. So for Anthony Rivera, this is the Subway to Shea podcast. And always remember, let's go Mets.